House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant of Arms will lock the doors. Members and visitors will silence all cell phones. The prayer will be offered tonight by Representative Alice Portson. Members and visitors of the gallery, please stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, members, and thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the prayer tonight, I've gone to the writings of Dag Hammarskjöld, the second Secretary General of the United Nations. He was a quiet and disciplined man, saw himself as more of a technocrat, and was very surprised when he was made Secretary General of the United Nations. But his work, however, came from a very deep spirituality and a complete dedication of purpose. He became the standard by which all subsequent Secretaries General have been measured. He understood the ability and the need to gather one's strength by reaching into the stillness within yourself. I have taken the liberty of combining two of his short prayers into one. So may we join together in the stillness of his prayer. You who are over us, you who are one of us, you who are also within us, may all see you in me also. May I prepare the way for you. May I thank you for all that shall fall to my lot. May I also not forget the needs of others. Give me a pure heart that I may see you, a humble heart that I may hear you, a heart of love that I may serve you, a heart of faith that I may abide in you. And have mercy upon us, have mercy upon our efforts, that we before thee, in love and faith and righteousness and humility, may follow thee with self-discipline, steadfastness and courage, and meet thee in the stillness. Amen.
Representative Moore is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for Thursday, May the 17, 2012, has been examined and found to be correct. I move its approval as written.
Representative Moore moves that the journal for May 17th be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. Members, take your seats. It's our honor to introduce the nurse of the day, Miss Annette Greer from Kinston, North Carolina. Nurse Greer, thank you for coming today. Members, on behalf of the members of the House, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the students. House will come to order. We're happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the students whose artwork was selected for the 2012 General Assembly Youth Art Exhibit. We welcome the students, their art teachers, and their families to the General Assembly. Will all of these students please stand? And members, on the motion of the members of the Female Republican Caucus of the North Carolina House, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Ray Lynn Chernitsky, President of the National Federation of Republican Women. Please stand so we can honor you for coming today. Thank you. Introduction of Members, without objection, we're going to adjourn subject to introductions, referrals, or messages in the Senate. Is there any objection? If not, so ordered. Go right to the resolution. Calendar. House Resolution 608. The clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill, House Resolution 608, a House resolution honoring the life and memory of Bertha B. Merrill Holt. The House resolves.
Members, will you take your seat for this resolution, please? I'd like the clerk to read the resolution in its entirety.
A House resolution honoring the life and memory of Bertha B. Merrill Holt. Whereas Bertha B. Merrill Holt was born on August 16, 1916 in Eufaula, Alabama, to William H. Merrill and Bertha H. Moore Merrill, and whereas B. Holt earned a bachelor's degree in psychology and history in 1938 from Agnes Scott College in Decatur, Georgia, and whereas B. Holt attended law school at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill from 1939 to 1940, and then transferred to the University of Alabama, where she received a law degree in 1941. And whereas B. Holt furthered her education by taking graduate courses at George Washington University, and whereas during B. Holt's early career, she worked as an attorney for the U.S. Treasury and the Department of the Interior in Washington, D.C. And whereas B. Holt met her future husband, W. Clary Holt, while working in Washington, D.C., and the two were married on March 14, 1942. And whereas B. Holt and her family moved to Burlington, North Carolina in 1946, where she quickly became involved in her community, and whereas B. Holt became an active in the local Democratic Party, and whereas in 1975 was appointed to the North Carolina House of Representatives, becoming the first woman to represent the district, and whereas B. Holt served with honor and distinction in the House of Representatives for consecutive terms between 1975 and 1994, and whereas B. Holt provided exceptional service to her constituency and to the General Assembly, serving as co-chair of the Appropriations Subcommittee on Justice and Public Safety and as vice chair of the Education Subcommittee on Preschool, Elementary, and Secondary Education, Judiciary One, and as a member of several other committees, including constitutional amendments and referenda and environment. And whereas B. Holt was appointed to a number of legislative study committees, including the Joint Legislative Commission on Governmental Operations, Pest Control Study Committee, Computer Literacy Study Committee, Joint Commission on School Salary Schedules, Open Meeting Study Committee, and Inmate Substance Abuse Study Committee. And whereas during her tenure in the General Assembly, B. Holt led the successful efforts to make marital rape a crime and fought for the state abortion fund because she believed a woman's right to self-determination should not be limited by her economic status. And whereas B. Holt was a founding member of the Alamance Women's Political Caucus and the Women's Resource Center in Alamance County and was a lifelong member of the Democratic Women of Alamance County and the Senior Democrats of Alamance County. And whereas in 1995, B. Holt served as a member of the delegation to the 4th United Nations Conference on Women in Beijing, China. And whereas B. Holt was a member of various organizations, including the North Carolina Bar Association, Phi Beta Phi, North Carolina Historical Society, Century Book Club, Down to Earth Garden Club, American Association of University Women, Task Force Community-Based Alternatives for State Offenders, and the North Carolina Women's Forum. And whereas B. Holt serves as on a number of boards and commissions, including Girl Scout Board, North Carolina School of Public Health Advisory Board, State Conference of Social Work, Life Guardianship Council, ARC North Carolina Advisory Board of Alamance County, Salvation Army, Advisory Board of the School Health Board, Board of Directors of the Snow Camp Historical Society, and Vice Chair of the North Carolina State University Committee on Transportation. And whereas, as a great proponent of education, especially civics and history, B. Holt often talked to high school classes and adult groups about our state's laws and government. And whereas B. Holt received numerous honors and recognitions for her good deeds, including the Outstanding Alumna Award from Agnes Scott College in 1978, Legislative Award from the Nurses Association in 1979, Hospice of North Carolina Award in 1984, Legislative Award from the North Carolina Alliance for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance in 1984, Distinguished Service in Promoting School Health Education from the North Carolina Society for Public Health Education in 1986, Faith Active to Public Life Award by the North Carolina Council of Churches in 1987, and Distinguished Woman's Award in Government from the North Carolina Council on the Status of Women in 1991. And whereas B. Holt was listed in Who's Who of American Women and Who's Who in America and received an honorary Doctor of Laws from Agnes Scott College in 2007. And whereas B. Holt was active in the Episcopal Church, serving as a member of the Episcopal Church of the Holy Comforter in Burlington, President of the Episcopal Church Women of the Church of the Holy Comforter, high school Sunday school teacher, a member of the Diocesan Council of North Carolina Episcopal Diocese, alternate delegate to the Episcopal General Convention, Episcopal Diocesan Convention Delegate, and Episcopal Diocesan Convention President for the Burlington Council of Church Women, and whereas B. Holt held the distinction of becoming the first woman to serve on the Bishop's Standing Committee and the Church Vestry, and was the first woman to serve as the senior warden of the vestry of the Church of the Holy Comforter. And whereas B. Holt died on June 19, 2010, at the age of 93, and whereas B. Holt is survived by a daughter, Harriet H. Whitley, sons W. Merrill Holt and W. Jefferson Holt, grandchildren Allison Burris, Anna Blessington, Alexander Holt, William Holt, Croft Holt, and Christopher Holt, and great-grandchildren Grace Burris, Lawson Burris, and Jack Blessington. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives. Section 1, the House of Representatives honors the memory of Bertha B. Merrill Holt and expresses the appreciation of this state and its citizens for the service she rendered her community, state, and nation. Section 2, the House of Representatives extends its sympathy to the family of Bertha B. Merrill Holt for the loss of a beloved family member. Section 3, the principal clerk shall transmit a certified copy of this resolution to the family of Bertha B. Merrill Holt. Section 4, this resolution is effective upon adoption.
Representative Bortson is recognized to comment on the resolution.
Thank you, and thank you, members of the House. I am the second woman to represent, to be sent by Alamance County to the General Assembly to speak for them in all that we do. The first one is the woman that we honor tonight, Bertha B. Holt. B. Holt was a force to be reckoned with. She was a source of energy, of dedication, of absolute conviction, and of purpose. She walked through her life with self-discipline, steadfastness, and courage. As I have walked through the writings of Dag Hammarskjöld, I came across a 1953 press release that I think is so appropriate for B. Holt and her passion for justice and for human rights. Our work for peace must begin within the private world of each of us. To build for man a world without fear, we must be without fear. To build a world of justice, we must be just. And how can we fight for liberty if we are not free in our own minds? How can we ask others to sacrifice if we are not ready to do so? Only in true surrender to the interest of all can we reach that strength and independence, that unity of purpose, that equity of judgment, which are necessary if we are to measure up to our duty to the future as people of a generation to whom the chance was given to build in time a world of peace. B. Holt was a fearless person, as fearless as any that I have known. She worked always for justice. She was a champion for human rights. I am proud to have had her political support and privileged to have known her for at least the time that I did. She was already a legend in Alamance by the time that I came to know her, and the arena in which I did know her was entirely political. I do sometimes wonder whatever brought it was that brought her to lend her support to me in that first election. My primary opponents were well-known folks, well-respected members of our community. They were part of the fabric of Alamance, and I was still, as I probably would be for the next two generations, still considered a newcomer to Alamance County. And I don't reside in Burlington. I reside in a small town that hangs on the eastern edge of Alamance County and actually falls into Orange County. But she did support me politically. She educated me politically, and she funded me politically. The education that I received from her that got me prepared for the entry into this body was largely from her storytelling. I don't think I know anybody who told stories better than Bee Holt, except maybe George Daniels from Caswell County, but I think really he was a close second. As important as anything that Bee did for me, she attended all of the large or significant functions that I had to do in that first election. It was a great source of comfort to see her there most of the time. The first large forum that I participated in was organized by our local newspaper, and it was a big one, and I was designated as the last person to speak. So my first campaign, first big event, and I'm the last. So my job, sitting in my chair, was to just keep my nerves at bay while I waited for my time. So as I looked around, my eyes caught Bee Holt sitting there on the front row, as she most liked to do. She was sitting there somewhat slouched in her chair, with her legs stretched out in front of her, crossed at the ankles, her arms crossed and folded across her chest, her glasses perched on the end of her nose, and she had this intense stare on her face at each person who was speaking at the time. And it occurred to me, I'm really glad that she's on my side. This is a person that I wouldn't want to be, have it as an adversary. But as I thought through what I might say tonight, any vignette that I might recount, the scenes of her talking with and to our senior Dems and our Alamance women, her growls when unpleasant issues came up in conversation, her love of controversy, her penchant for travel, her knowledge and enjoyment of fine wine. What I am drawn to most of all is that Bee Holt was, even if she didn't mean to be, she was always a teacher. She was a living lesson. You couldn't be with her and not be instructed. And it was her life's experience as much as anything that made her such a good teacher. She was not only a native of the Deep South, but of the South at a time when women's roles were defined by others. She was born in 1916 before we women had our right to vote established in the Constitution. She grew up in the segregated South, where that right to vote, while perhaps available technically to both black and white, was in reality available only to white. She grew to be a fierce defender of the right to vote all of her life. She worked to register people. She worked to encourage anyone to exercise that right to vote. She plunged into our schools with her three-legged stool to teach our children about our three branches of government so that they would be informed, engaged, and understand the importance of their vote, of their participation. She taught government and citizen participation everywhere she went. Early in her life, she knew she wanted to go to college and to be a lawyer, even though that was not a field exactly friendly to women those days in Alabama and any part of this country. But to go to university, one had to have completed a high school course in biology. But in Alabama, girls weren't allowed to take biology. They had to take home ec. So she persuaded her father to petition this local school board on her behalf so that she could take biology rather than home ec. He did that successfully, and she ended up in a biology class filled with young men being taught by the football coach. As Bee said, mostly they talked about the science of football, baseball, and basketball. That's when I developed my feminist attitudes. When she went to law school, she was one of the first women to be admitted to the UNC School of Law, and she was the only woman in her class. These experiences and more shaped her and made her a lifelong teacher for civil rights, both race-based and gender-based. She was the first woman to serve on the church vestry of her Episcopal Church in Burlington. She was the first woman to serve on the Bishop's Committee of the Episcopal Church in North Carolina. And in 1975, she became the first woman to represent Alamance in the General Assembly, and she was the representative for both Alamance and Rockingham. And she was returned to the General Assembly over and over, serving a total of 19 consecutive years. She was a full-time living example of the importance of asserting one's rights. I would suggest that when it came to women's rights, however, she was a virtual street fighter. She successfully fought for the establishment of the state abortion form because she was a fierce believer in a woman's right to self-determination, so that when terrible choices have to be made at terrible times, it's not the economic status of a woman that determines her choice. She successfully fought to have marital rape established as a crime. She was a founding member of our Women's Resource Center in Alamance and of the Alamance Women's Political Caucus. She was a member of the delegation to the 4th United Nations Conference on Women in Beijing, and through all of her work and her pursuit of equal rights and teaching of responsible citizenship and her passion for the Democratic Party and for the people of Alamance County, she was also, and most of all, wife to Clary, mother to Harriet, Jefferson, and Merrill, and a grandmother, and a great-grandmother. She loved it all, and she loved being here. She loved being here as much as anything. I think she was in her glory when she was in the General Assembly. She informed me that she strongly believed that all members should stay here during session rather than commute, as some of us are inclined and able to do. Her thought was that after a long and quarrelsome day, members could toddle on back to the same hotel, go to the same watering hole, develop friendships that could carry members through rough decisions, bad economies, and challenging legislation. She was a force for peace and justice and equality. When Bea lost her last election in 1994, there were folks who felt satisfied, folks whose views on women's health and reproductive rights were less expansive than hers. And maybe that's okay, and maybe it's not. But I would ask the members to consider this. After initial appointment, Rockingham and our prickly and tough county of Alamance, that is no place for the faint of heart, sent Bea Holt back to the General Assembly again and again and again until she had served here for 19 years. That's not nothing. She was passionate about her constituents, this body, and the state. She could disagree without, as they say, being disagreeable. She offered respect and engagement to her opponents. She never flinched from talking about hard issues with challenging personalities. She served with grace and integrity. And members of the House, I commend this resolution to you.
Representative Engel from Alamance is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 1994, when Representative Bertha B. Holt, when she retired, I was actually still the chief of police at the town of Elon at that time. And then along in 2004, I ran for county commissioner, was elected. And I got to know Miss B. Through the county commissioners, because every time we had an education issue that came up before the county commissioners, Miss B. was there. And one of the things I'd like to share with you is a story. Back about 7 or 8 years ago, my wife and I were shopping there in Alamance County, and we ran into Miss B. And Miss B. said, "Dan Engel, I want to talk to you." I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, we'll talk." And she said, "I have some questions for you." I said, "Okay." She said, "You know, I know your cousins over in Eastern Guilford County," and she called them by name and said, "They're both good Democrats. And, you know, and they're active in the party," and said, "I just can't understand it. I can't understand what happened to you." And then she said, She said, your granddaddy was Dan Engle. I said, Miss B, that was my great-granddaddy. And she said, and he was a good Democrat. I said, yes, ma'am. And you were named after him. I said, yes, ma'am. And so rather than getting involved in philosophical differences between the Republicans and the Democrats, I used a couple generic statements to Miss B to explain why I was a Republican. And finally, and this has been 7 or 8 years, but it seems like I remember something like, if Dan Engle was living today, he'd be chasing you around this door with a stick. But that was Miss B, and she was the Democrat in Alamance County, no doubt about it. But I'd like to share some things with you in terms of, in her passing back in 2010, this came from her constituents and friends there in Alamance County and other places, but this is what they thought of Miss B, and these are things that they said that I picked up, just the adjectives or the verbs and just how they felt about her, maybe just a brief statement, but here's some things to describe Miss B from them. Down to earth, sharing, giving, doing what she thought was right, gritty, inspirational, a role model, a mentor, spunky, eyes that sparkle, never afraid to speak her mind. I'll underline that one. A passion for the underdog, a kind heart, always upbeat, positive, honest, a champion for women, proclaiming to young people her three priorities, education, education, and education, loving her family, her church, and her political buddies, and finally, an integral part of the history of Alamance County. And now Representative Dan Engle will add his to it, where it says, finally, an integral part of the history of Alamance County and also our great state of North Carolina. And I submit this House Resolution 608, committee substitute to you for a yes vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Alexander from Mecklenburg is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I had the opportunity to know B. Hope way before I came to the North Carolina legislature because of the Episcopal Church. And so I knew B for about 18 years before I came here, and she was a force in the Episcopal Church just as she was here on the floor. And she was on many committees and chaired them, and she was always present at our diocesan conventions, and she was a mainstay, and people all over our diocese, which is the middle part of the state of North Carolina, knew B. Holt and worked with her and cherished her. I spent a lot of time this morning looking for a little plastic bee that she used to hand out. It was a little plastic bee that she used some in her campaigns. But in her honor, I found my earrings that have a bee on my hat in honor of her, because she always had a bee on, usually. Now, I want to tell a few stories about Bee Holt. Bee stayed at the Brownstone Hotel, and back then, many people stayed in hotels, or they did go home, but not as many people stayed in townhouses or condominiums. And so my freshman year was just amazing. We seemed to have had very long sessions that would go into about 10 o'clock at night. I mean, that was a common thing around here. And so once we'd go to the Brownstone, Marie Colton from Asheville and Ruth Easterling from Mecklenburg County and Bee Holt, about 11:30, decided we all needed to go out and eat. I mean, 11:30 at night. I am not talking about lunch at 11:30 in the morning. So at 11:30 at night, I would trip across the street and go to the restaurant where I sat and learned and listened to these three women who were such great stalwarts of this institution And B was right there ensuring that we were all going to do that. So we wouldn't go back, get back to the hotel until, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I must say, even though the sessions were late, we always began early, like with breakfasts at 7 or 7:30, and definitely our committees at 8:30 in the morning. But nothing would hamper that little mission at night. The other thing one day was the fact that all of a sudden the Brownstone didn't have a room for us. I guess we were staying over on a Thursday night, which was unusual, and other groups had come in. So all of a sudden you had these three, four homeless people, so to speak. And I'm not sure where Marie went that night, but B invited Ruth Easterling and me to go home with her. So we went to Burlington. And what a trip that was. We had just this wonderful dinner and then went back to her house, and it was just sort of like a slumber party. We just stayed up most of the night just talking and chatting, and it was just a lovely home and a lovely setting and so friendly. And I had the opportunity to know Clary, her husband, through the Episcopal Church as well. And so Clary was there being quite the gentleman to these three women he was taking care of that that evening. Clary and I, when we would go to these diocesan conventions, I always liked to go swimming early in the morning for exercise, and Clary was always right there swimming in the pool. Then, some of you who've been here for a while might remember, and I'm sorry I don't remember which bill, I really have been trying to think about that, but at 3:45 a.m., and B sat sort of right over, sort of catty corner from me on the other side, and she stood up and she started talking about this bill. She was just as bright as she was, but somehow we got the history of Australia, if some of you might remember, because I think we were talking about the prison system or something, but somehow the next thing we knew she was giving us this dissertation, and everybody was listening. Because she was very commanding when she stood up and spoke. But she wasn't tired at all. She never was. Or if she was, she definitely never showed it. So she was here for a long time. But let me tell you, she might have been working with you in the county commission and going to those meetings. But she would call me up about different issues. And if it was an issue that she was really upset about, I definitely heard it. And she wanted me to know exactly where she stood on different issues, and I always appreciated that. And she was very interested in what was going on here and who was here, and so she really sort of never left us, even though she wasn't a part of the body at that time. So I would say to you that B was a lady of courage. She was an advocate for justice and human rights, a distinguished lawyer and legislator, a pillar of her community and her church, and most of all to me, she was a very special friend and a mentor. And thank you to be, and I wish that you would join me in supporting this resolution. Thank you.
Leader Hackney from Orange is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. It's a great privilege to speak on this resolution, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. I served with Representative Holt from 1980 to 1994, and we were great friends along with Clary. Of course, I practiced law in the Orange and Chatham area, and he in Alamance, and we were in the same judicial district together, so I knew him extremely well. In fact, I used to prosecute the docket in Alamance County occasionally when I was assistant DA. So B was well known to me before that. The word has already been used, but the word I'll use is courage. She was one courageous lady. If she had a position, she would hold to it. She would try to convince you. And if some of the folks back home didn't like it, well, they could just get over it. And I guess the Republican counterpart who served in the United States Senate might be the same way, in that people voted for her because of her strong conviction, her willingness to put herself out there and always be someone who you knew where that she stood. She was at all times a grand lady. She was Alabama-born and Agnes Scott-educated. She was perfectly dressed, and she had perfectly good Southern manners as she sliced you up. She came along, I came along in the first year of the Liston Ramsey 8-year speakership, 4 terms, and she and Liston were on the same team. She loved being on his team. She loved doing things together because she knew that his heart was in the right place as a populist who loved the common man. Her contemporaries, along with myself in those days, were Alan Adams, who's sitting over there, and Bob Hunter, Martin Lancaster, Paul Pulley, Tim McDowell, who's here, and many, many others. Paul Pulley said of her, "A grand lady, she spoke her mind and had a long memory. You could disagree with her, but it was not advisable to cross her." He knew that from experience. I can name 3 people who did cross her on a regular basis and who she loved to fight with. And she had a story on any one occasion about any one of these people. One of them was John Jordan, was in her delegation. And a second one was Fred Bowman. She loved to talk about Fred Bowman. And then there was Carrie Allred. And you might even add Junior Teague to that list, but Carrie, she could tell you about Carrie Allred if you wanted to know about Carrie Allred. She will be forever known for her legislative accomplishments in North Carolina, some of which are already in the history books. The great fight for the Equal Rights Amendment to the state constitution in the late 70s, a fight she lost. And as has been mentioned, the great fight to remove the husband exemption from the rape law, which she won, a fight she won in 1993. Her legendary commitment to education has been mentioned. Let me mention one other. You know, at the National Conference of State Legislatures, we have a program called Legislators Back to School. Many of you participate in it, and NCSL sends out a kit that you can use and go into the schools. And their goal is to get every legislator in America to visit schools in that month when we do it. Be did it all the time. She was a civics educator. She loved to be in the schools. She loved to teach. And she was, as someone else has already said, an educator at heart. So, it is a great privilege to not only talk about the issues that she cared about, including many women's issues, including choice, including domestic violence laws, any number of things that the laws that we have her mark on them. I am delighted that members of the family could be here tonight. I'm delighted that many of her former colleagues are here as well as those of us who are currently serving. And I commend this resolution to you. Thank you.
Representative Adams from Guilford is recognized to speak to the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I too am pleased to stand and speak in support of House Bill 608, honoring Bea Hope, a staunch warrior, diligent servant leader of the people of North Carolina and her district. She was a fighter for people, a role model for women, for children, and for families. As a matter of fact, I heard about Bea Hope before I heard about Alamance County. So she put Alamance County on the map. When I came to the legislature, I came here to complete a session, to complete the short session another member who had passed on. And I had the privilege of meeting Bee Hope. She was, as a matter of fact, I think I was put on Justice and Public Safety, and she was co-chairing that committee, and I learned a lot from her. I didn't think I knew a whole lot about that area, but I was certainly impressed with her leadership. She believed in doing what was right, as has been said, not for political expediency, but because, indeed, it was the right thing to do. I was drawn to behold as I tried to learn as a new member and would listen to people as they would speak. And I noticed that when Bee Hope stood and took the mic and started to speak, that everybody would listen. Kind of like E.F. Hutton. When Bee Hope spoke, everybody listened. Not only did she know what to say, but she also knew how to say it. I was in January honored to be the recipient of the 2012 Bee Hope Award for Courage and Leadership that was sponsored by the Planned Parenthood of North Carolina. Of the many awards that I have, I consider that to be one that is very, very precious to me because of the work that Bee Hope did and for what she stood for. She was a fighter, as has already been mentioned. She showed compassion for all people, but she took a particular interest in women and her desire to help women understand and to the importance of fighting for their rights and for the fact that indeed women did have the right. In an interview, and as she worked for the struggle for equality, she talked about women being their own worst enemies. And in a comment she made, she said that women finally had the vote and then didn't take advantage of it for ages. And so I've said this so much till it's almost trite, she said. But tradition tells us who we are, and so often the women have let tradition tell them who they are. And it's hard to break with tradition, but Bee Hope didn't mind fighting even against tradition. She continued to fight. She continued to encourage others of us to fight. She was a role model. She was indeed an incredible woman. I was just pleased and honored to, for a short period of time during that short session, to have had the opportunity to observe her, to learn from her. And then even after she left the General Assembly, as I finally found out about Alamance County and all that she did there to really make an impact, not only in that community but throughout the state, I had the pleasure of meeting with her on various occasions, even in Alamance County. I'm not sure that she would be real happy about some of the legislation that we've passed here, though, particularly as it relates to women, and what I'm sure she would consider would not be in their best interest. She was my shero, as she was to many of us. She was someone who not only you could learn from, but that you could emulate. And so I'm proud to have had the privilege of knowing her, learning from her, and proud to be able to call her friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Lukey from Durham is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House and to the family of Representative Bee Hope, it's really my pleasure to be able to speak of her. She was, when I came to the General Assembly, she was already very much a veteran. Having come here in 1975, I was quite a rookie in 1991. And I can tell you, she sat right over there. Representative Brawley is right in that little area. And I looked over to her frequently for advice, and she would offer advice to me frequently because she and I agreed on so many, many things, but she had so much insight about how to get there to that goal, things I really needed to learn from her. And I'll always be grateful to her for the mentorship that she provided. After she left the General Assembly, it was the first time I heard that story about how she insisted that she needed to be able to take biology class even though she was a girl, that biology was not for girls, home economics was for girls, and just how she fought her way into that biology class when she was in high school around 1930. And my whole sense of knowing her, of knowing B. Holt, was that, as has been commented many times, she was a fighter for the Equal Rights Amendment here in the 1970s. She fought for the women's right to choose in the 1970s and 80s and on through her years in 1990. But I worked with her closely on the bill about marital rape. And I know it'd be hard, especially for the young people here, to imagine that there was such a statute on the books. But we had, in North Carolina, it was legal for a man to rape his wife. It was legal. And when Representative Holt took this on, B. Holt took this on in the 1980s, North Carolina was one of two states where a man could rape his wife, and because she was considered his property, it was not considered a violation of the law. And she took that fight on, and in the late 80s, she came close but did not succeed in getting rid of that, in 1993, I was here and I was honored to be able to work with her. We had a good coalition. We had a lot of support from the women's groups around the state, women's equality advocates, men too. We worked together very closely, and I believe the vote finally in 1993 in the House was 101-5. I don't want to say anything about the five. But we did pass this overwhelmingly to make clear that rape was not allowed. A man could not rape his wife. A shame that it lasted that long, but again, Representative Holt led the fight, and we were all proud to work with her on that. If I had to think of one last thing to say, I think about the Pledge of Allegiance we said, stated this evening a few minutes ago, with liberty and justice for all. B. Holt was a woman who believed in justice for all, and every day she was here at the General Assembly, she fought for that, and I'm pleased to have known her. Thank you.
Representative Farmer Butterfield from Wilson is recognized to comment on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor for me to speak about B. Holt, and I'm just going to speak about her from a very specific perspective because I think my colleagues have done an excellent job of talking about her already. I met B. Holt in the late 70s, and I met her as a legislator and a politician, and she taught me how the legislative process works. She also made me very comfortable about what the impact could be of the Women's Caucus in this legislature. Later, I met B. again in life in the 80s when she served on the Life Guardianship Council and the ARC of North Carolina Advisory Committee. In that capacity, she advocated and was a champion for people with developmental disabilities and indeed taught us how to think outside the box by saying, why are you offering guardianship services in this state for just people with developmental disabilities? Why not people with mental illness and substance abuse as well? So she had us think outside the box and expand our population base for people in need of guardianship. She was not only a champion for people who wanted justice and equality and needed it, she was a champion for women, but she was a champion for people with disabilities and for people who needed a guardian. She was a mover, shaker. She could get things done and knew exactly how to get it done. And indeed, she was a teaching person because she taught us how to make the legislature work for people across this state with health and human service problems. I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Bryant from Nash County is recognized to speak to the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen in the House, I am so proud to speak on this resolution honoring Representative B. Holt. She and Annie Brown Kennedy, some of you may remember her, were great role models and mentors and champions for me, beginning from my being a student in law school. And when I finished law school, I ended up in my first job practicing law in Alamance County because one of my commitments was to go to a county where there weren't many black lawyers. And there weren't many women lawyers either. I think I may have been the third in Alamance County. There was B. There was a woman named Alexa Jordan. Some of you from the my community may remember her. And then there was me, and folks would come to my office, and I'd be excited about having new clients, but they were really coming to see who this woman lawyer was, that they heard was in the community, and they'd come down to the courthouse. But she and Clary Holt were very good supporters and mentors to me in the mid-70s when that started, when we were few and far between in terms of practicing law at that time, and it really made a difference to have people with their stature and grounding in the community to provide support. As a charter member of the North Carolina Association of Women Attorneys, we worked together very closely with her to start that organization, and she was, again, a mentor for all of us who were entering the practice of law in the mid-70s and then the 80s, when a lot of women, the first major wave of women, entered the practice. As everyone has said, she's a pioneer. She's a great legislator. She was a great lawyer. She's a mentor. She's a friend. And in her esteemed honor and in the honor of her families and friends who are here assembled to recognize her today, I commend to you this resolution. Thank you.
Representative Ross from Wake is recognized to speak to the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I knew Bea Holt when she was a legislator, but I really got to know her after the 1994 election when she got to go home. And I think it's important to talk about what happens when you go home, because about a third of the folks here won't be back next year. And the question is, what are you going to do? Well, Bea never stopped moving. I got her to serve on the board of directors for the American Civil Liberties Union, which she relished. I'm sure you're not surprised about that. I served with her on the Juvenile Justice Committee for the Bar Association, and she sponsored me to be a member of the Women's Forum of North Carolina, which was a real honor because I was only in my early 30s when she sponsored me to be on that forum, and most of the people were much older than I was. But Bea always believed in working hard for what she believed in and bringing people along with her. A lot of people have used the word courageous to describe her. I would give her an even greater honor. She was fearless. Absolutely nothing intimidated her. As a matter of fact, she said she came by this honestly, that she was part trucker. And when she gave up her license plate, her legislative license plate, she slapped on a really, really great bumper sticker. And I'll leave you with this, and I hope to be part of the pack. Uppity Women Unite. I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Harrison from Guilford County is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. We've heard a lot about this, so I'll be brief, but I, like many of the elected Democratic women, she served as a role model and a mentor to me, and I very much admired the courage of her convictions. My favorite story, as has been pointed out, she was a fierce Democrat, was during the 2008 primary. She and I were both enthusiastic Obama campaigns, which was unusual given our demographic, I was assigned to the squad that was supposed to go out and generate support media interest in areas where President Clinton had just been campaigning. And I was pretty sure this two-term House member from Greensboro was not going to generate the same kind of media interest as a former leader of the free world. So I called up Bea Holt, and she jumped in her car and met me at the Stamey's Barbecue in Greensboro on a very hot April afternoon. We drove over to Lexington and started knocking on doors. And it was a great day. I spent the afternoon with her hearing stories about the legislature, about her life, and about our Eufaula connection. And we ended up getting a couple of news clips and a front-page story on the Lexington Times-Dispatch, so I fulfilled my duty with the Obama campaign. It was a really great day. I'll cherish the memory. And Jefferson and family, thank you for lending us your mother all these years.
Representative Jeffers from Guilford County is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, want to speak on the resolution. I have some fond memories of Bea Holt. I first met Bea when I came to the legislature as a new legislator in 1991, and, of course, she immediately took me under her wing and tried to help me get oriented and know exactly where to go and what to do. And then she wanted to know, where are you staying? And I told her I was staying at a place down on Capitol Boulevard where that had been recommended by the chair of our delegation. And she said, oh, no, you can't stay there. You've got to move to the Brownstone. That's the place to be. So, of course, I did pack up just what B said to do and move to the Brownstone. But I will say I did not go on those 11:30 dinners with Representative Alexander and a few of the others. But we did have a breakfast room upstairs that all of us met up there. And it was very nice. We could always just kind of rehash what went on the night before and what we were going to do the coming day and that sort of thing. So those are some very, very fond memories I have. Another thing, Representative Luke, you mentioned the marital rape bill. I remember that very distinctly because it was very controversial. And as he said, it did get passed by the House. But the Senate was a little worrisome, and I don't think we were really sure just what those senators were going to do. So we devised a plan. I'm sure it's probably B's plan, but I remember distinctly going over to the meetings, and there were many committee meetings on this particular bill. And all of the women came together on both sides of the aisle. They were in favor of the bill. And whenever we did not have a committee meeting, we sat in the Senate committee meeting. We didn't say anything. We just sat there along the line and looked at these men, and there were no women on this particular committee. And I will tell you that the men got a little bit uncomfortable after a while, after we sat there for several meetings. Sometimes there would be 10 of us, sometimes 15 and maybe more. There weren't many women in the Senate that particular time. But that was sort of a fun memory and a fun time with B. Another thing that I remember, not too long after that, B and Clary had their 50th wedding anniversary. And we were fortunate enough to be invited to the party. And the children were now grown, and, well, I guess they were grown then, too, but are up there in the gallery, decided they were going to hire their favorite band, which happened to be the Tommy Dorsey Band. So, of course, we went and enjoyed it very much. And then by coincidence, sometime later, my husband joined that band. You know, most of you know he is a musician. And he joined that band as well to play with them. I will say one other thing. B, I think, was a most unusual and most unique person. There have been many, many things said about her, but she really did love this institution. She loved her family. She loved her church. She loved this institution. And she loved to debate, believe me. She loved to debate. And she would usually won, as well as I remember. But she was a wonderful, wonderful, unique person, and I really think that this world would be a much better place if we had more B. Holtz in them. I recommend the resolution to you.
Representative Enscoe from Orange is recognized to speak to the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, and to the Holt family and all their friends. I first met B. Holt during the Equal Rights Amendment, the fight for the Equal Rights Amendment, and I remember gathering together, talking about how important that was and the energy that she brought to that fight and the high hopes that she had as we edged toward having enough states pass that we could actually make it part of our Constitution. And then at the very end, the votes fell short, and we were one of three states that failed to pass the amendment at the end of that fight. And I remember her disappointment, but I never felt like she was defeated. She never seemed defeated. I think that experience actually energized her to drive harder and to take on more tasks even than she had. And a greater commitment to making sure that women had equal rights and that were respected and equal opportunities. You've all heard about how many times she was the first woman to do this and the first woman to do that. And I've always sort of pictured her as, once I heard about the glass ceiling, as seeing her sort of just lifted up through one glass ceiling after another, like they dissolved before her. And Representative Ross said, and you've heard several people say that she was courageous, and she was, of course. But I agree that the word that fit her was fearless and a happy warrior. She was so full of energy, welcomed, eager to take on issues, and in the energy that she had, I remember somebody else mentioned her bright eyes. I remember her walking toward me, and it was like the energy. Her energy was a warm embrace, and when she talked to you, you were the center of attention, and she gave you all of her attention, as she did to all the activities that she was involved in. And I'm proud to have known her, honored that she encouraged me to move ahead in political life, and I commend the resolution to you.
Representative Weiss from Wakes recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel honored to have met Bea. I wish I had known her when she served, but I met her, I guess, in the fall of 2001. I was going down to a Democratic Women's State Convention, and she was down there. I had driven down that night with another friend, and it was kind of late by the time we got there, and I remember feeling very tired, and there was Bea sitting in the bar saying, come on, have a drink. And I sat down with her, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't keep up with her, with all due respect. And I don't mean that she was drinking heavily. I just mean that she had a lot of energy, and I kept looking at my watch, and I went to UNC. I can do this. But I guess she did, too. But anyway, she was feisty. She was fun-loving. You've heard about her sparkling eyes. She had a passion and an intensity about her. And, you know, it never even really dawned on me that she was about 40 years older than I am. You just didn't notice. She just was wise, but she didn't rub it in your face. You were just really happy to be with her. I saw her shortly before her death, but I didn't know that it was shortly before her death. She didn't know that it was shortly before her death. We were at someone else's funeral, and she mentioned to me that she, you know, was healthy as a horse and that she didn't take one prescription medicine, and she, you know, she was just amazing. She had so much dignity. She wasn't arrogant, but she was just confident, and she was just wonderful. I feel so fortunate to have known her, and I think we should all think about her energy when we go about our work. I commend the resolution to you.
What purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak just very briefly to the resolution.
Lady has the floor.
Today, I was fortunate to be in a crowd of women, along with Representative Keever, to hear Gloria Steinem speak. She came to Asheville, and I knew that this resolution was going to be on the calendar today, and it was just seemed so fitting to have the opportunity to listen to a fellow feminist such as Gloria Steinem, and to sort of be put in mind of what Bea Holt meant to this institution as well as to women everywhere. I'm struck by the fact that there are a lot of young women in this chamber this evening who need to, and I hope have listened to the lessons that Bea Holt sort of bequeathed to us all. And I want to leave you with just one quote that is actually Gloria Steinem's, and it doesn't quite fit Bea Holt, but you'll get the association. This from Gloria Steinem. One day, an army of gray-haired women will quietly take over the earth. Well, she wouldn't do it quietly, but she definitely led that army, and I think continues to lead it today and into the future. And I commend the resolution to you. Thank you.
Before I call for the vote, I'd like for the pages to start making their way forward, please. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Committee Substitute for House Resolution 608. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 87 having voted in favor, none in the negative. House Committee Substitute for House Resolution 608 has passed. Members, it's my honor to recognize, after the passage of this important resolution, the family of our honoree, starting with Harriet Whitley, the daughter, Jefferson Holt, William Holt, all friends and colleagues, former Representative Al Adams, and former Representative and current Court of Appeals Judge Bob Hunter. Thank you all for coming to the General Assembly today. Speaker Tillis appoints the following members to serve as the escort committee for a delegation from Turkey who will be our guest tomorrow.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose delay from Alamance, Representative Bortzenreich?
For a motion before we move away from this matter.
The lady has the floor.
I would move that the comments made tonight be spread across the journal.
So moved.
Thank you.
Without objection. So moved. Okay. Representative McCormick, Chair, Stone, McGrady, Bowles, Moore, Gillespie, and Dollar. It's now our honor to introduce the Pages for this week. Pages, we're glad that you're here with us. When the clerk calls your name, we ask that you step forward and raise your hand and let the members know who you are and where you're from. The clerk will read.
David Allen, Jr., Cleveland County. Madison Allendorf, McDowell. Kevin Aline Hoke. Nicholas Britt Johnson. Violet Bruchon Randolph. Brianna Davis, Halifax. Matthew Gilgo Pender. Elliot Grant Durham. Grace Griffin Pender. Samuel Griffin Wake, Casey Justice Henderson, Cody Justice Henderson, Maria Kunith Wake, Elizabeth Manis Stanley, Scott Manning Carteret, Cody Martin Orange, Hunter Martin Orange, Moshe McCutcheon Wake, Taishu McLaughlin, Lenore, Anderson Moore, Ash, William Rearson, Forsyth, Bethany Vance, McDowell, Jacqueline Wise Carver, Davy, Kilby Young, Forsyth.
Pages, thank you for your service this week. We hope that you have an enjoyable time here in the General Assembly. And we appreciate your contributions to our state. You can now return to your stations. Notices and announcements. For what purpose, the gentleman from Johnston, Representative Daughtry, rise?
To make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Remind the judiciary committees that we will meet tomorrow. Right after session, 30 minutes after session, or 2 o'clock, whichever comes first, in room 544 to take up House Bill 947. Your prompt attendance will be appreciated.
What purpose does Representative Pittman from Cabarrus rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Yes,
House will come to order.
Thank you. I would like to make folks aware that Jay White, who ran against me in a primary, county commissioner in Cabarrus County's mother, just died, and would like to ask folks to be in prayer for Jay and for his family. Thank you.
What purpose the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hall, rise? What purpose does the gentleman from Moore, T. Moore, For what purpose, Representative Moore from Cleveland rice?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, we're going to have a very, very quick Rules Committee meeting around this desk immediately upon adjournment. It will take no more than 2 minutes. It's to simply consider a resolution that's time-sensitive to be done later this week. We'd appreciate your prompt attendance, and I'll get you out of here soon.
Further notice of announcement? Seeing none, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Dollar, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House be now adjourned, subject to messages from the Senate and the introduction of bills and resolutions, to reconvene on Tuesday, May 22nd at 2 p.m.
Representative Dollar has moved that the House be adjourned until 2 o'clock, seconded by Representative Cleveland. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. House stands adjourned. Yeah, you want to do them? Go ahead.
Message. Okay. Representative Gillespie, House Bill 985, driver education fee paid when getting permit.
Finance.
Representative McGirth, House Bill 986, Anson County Agri-Civic Center Funds.
Appropriations.
Representative Weiss, Ross, Murray, and Jackson, House Bill 987, Wake Tech Board Trustees.
Government.
Representative Lewis, House Bill 988, Avesburg Township Tourism Development Authority changes.
Finance.
Representative Howard, House Bill 989, permanent license plates.
Excuse me. Government, if favorable, finance. Transportation,
I just read it.
Referred to finance.
House Bill 990, Representative Torbett, special plate for retired register of deeds.
Transportation, if favorable, finance.
Representative Hare, House Bill 991, Jackson County occupancy tax changes.
Government, if favorable, finance.
Representative Cotham, House Bill 992, special plate for town of Matthews.
Transportation, if favorable, finance.
Representative Mills, House Bill 993, Iredell Register of Deeds Satellite Office.
Government.
Representative Jones and Holloway, House Bill 994, Rockingham County Design Bill.
Government, if favorable, finance.
Representative Owens, House Bill 995, Tax Adjustment Plan.
Finance, if favorable, appropriations.
Representative Earl and Weiss, House Bill 996, Child Death Research Fund.
Appropriations.
Representative Earl, House Bill 997, Funds to Prevent Infant Mortality.
Appropriations.
Representative Glazier, M. Alexander, Gill, and Rapp, House Bill 998, Funds to Reduce Class Size in Kindergarten through Third Grade.
Appropriations.
Representative Jordan Justice R. Moore and Spear, House Bill 1000, Community Association Managers Licensing Act.
Judiciary Subcommittee A, of favorable finance.
Representative Cleveland, House Resolution 1001, Executive Order, no Department of Management and Administration.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Blackwell, Holloway, Jordan, and Gill, House Bill 1002, Bill of Rights, Deaf, Hearing Impaired.
Judiciary Subcommittee A.
Representative Howard, House Bill 1003, Child Nutrition Program Solvency and Support.
Health and Human Services.
Representative Howard, House Joint Resolution 1004, Reform Workforce Development.
Commerce and Job Development.
Representative Parfit, Floyd, and Lucas, House Bill 1005, Funds for Fayetteville State University Butler's Building.
Appropriations.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House, House Bill 1006, Special Motorcycle Plate for Vietnam Veterans.
Transportation and Favorable Finance.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House, House Joint Resolution 1007, honoring Spec Elliott.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House, House Bill 1008, no televisions on death row.
Judiciary Subcommittee C.
Representative McGrady and Moffitt, House Bill 1009, Metropolitan Sewerage District Amendment.
Government.
Representative Rapp, McLaughlin, Carney, and Glazier, House Bill 1010, University of North Carolina Television Restore Funds.
Appropriations.
Representative Rapp, Wilkins, McGawhorn, and Glazier, House Bill 1011, Budget Full Enrollment Growth for University of North Carolina.
Appropriations.
Representative Howard, House Bill 1012, Effective Utilization of Program Evaluation Division.
Finance.
Representative Wilkins, Rapp, Carney, and Hall, House Bill 1013, University of North Carolina for Faculty and Retention Fund.
Appropriations.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 582, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize additional Class 3 gaming on Indian lands pursuant to Tribal State Gaming Compact to create the Indian Gaming Education Revenue Fund and appropriate funds.
Appropriations.
Senate Bill 797, a bill to be entitled an act to ensure adequate funding in state Medicaid program for the 2011-2012 fiscal year and to prohibit drawing down or transferring of Medicaid disproportionate share receipts or other funds if doing so would create or increase a financial obligation in the 2012-2013 fiscal year.
Appropriations.
Senate Bill 799, a bill to be entitled an act to remedy infirmities found by federal court in the local act relating to election of the Board of Commissioners of Guilford County.
Redistricting.